bring Christian greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here and worship with you again, brothers and sisters at Great Lakes. There's a very real sense of friendship and relationship as we think of you all. And God bless you as you build and work in the kingdom of God here in this area. For a subject of the morning, I marvel at God's leading and God's hand and his direction. You're familiar with traveling. Now, some of us think in different ways when we're asking for directions to going somewhere. It's been said already that there's two ways of thinking. And maybe you'll define in your mind how you think when you think of getting directions. You want to travel somewhere. One way is you ask for directions and you prefer that the individual tells you step by step. You go down Apple Drive and you turn right and you go so many miles and you turn left, stay on that road for X a number of miles and then you turn again and you'll find the place on the left. The next way of thinking is just tell me something that's close to where I'm going and I'll get it from there. So, well, it's close to Walmart down at wherever. Oh, okay, sure. And then it's just a couple streets and you're there. Great, got it, thank you. I think you could probably define a little bit how you think. Personalities may come out in there. When we're walking the road to heaven, taking our journey today, in the spiritual sense, sometimes we come to roadblocks and we maybe roadblocks that we have not anticipated at all. And here we stand at a roadblock, and which way do we go? We just wish that somehow we would have some direction. How do we go? How shall we go? The Bible is full of numerous accounts of individuals who had come to those places in their lives where there appeared to be a roadblock. Life had changed abruptly. What did they do? The children of Israel is an example of this. At times, they had come to places where they were, as it were, at a roadblock. And which way should they go? The title of the message this morning is That Ye May Know the Way. That Ye May Know the Way. And I invite you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 is the story of the children of Israel standing at the brink of Jordan, standing at the shore of Jordan. And we want to notice this story. And we would like to draw some points from this story that you may know the way. Spiritually speaking this morning, the journey of life. It seems that the older I get, the more I realize that time is rapidly moving along. And the more I sense the seriousness of living. And the more I sense the seriousness of choices. And as you look back over the years, I'm sure you can see how God has led you. Ways that God has led you. And at those moments in your life back then, you understand that you have come through circumstances and periods in your life that you didn't know how it was going to work out. But now as you look back, you can see. Today, we have come, we know the past, and we know the present. It's almost 10:30. And we know up till now. We do not know the next 5 minutes. We have no idea. We have no idea what's going to happen. We think we know. We expect to have lunch. I was preaching the other Sunday at Kirkwood, and I didn't realize it. I heard a sound. I didn't realize it, but the fire alarm went off. I didn't know what it was. It was a new church. I didn't know what it was. The fire alarm went off. Well, it was just some overzealous food in the oven. But you know, things can change so rapidly. So rapidly. How do we keep our moorings? How do we keep our moorings? That ye may know the way. I'd like to read verses 1 to 17 of Joshua chapter 3. I would like for you to notice a few things. Notice the children of Israel and their plight. Notice the Lord and his direction through Joshua. Let's read. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. So we have them camping by the Jordan. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. And that's where our title was taken from. That ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. I say amen. Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents, to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Did it ever dawn on you that this is a true story? The Bible doesn't lie, and this actually happened. You think about that. You think about that. A miracle that actually, that happened. The power of God. The Lord of all the earth. This morning, the same God, the same power, the same God the Almighty One, the Sovereign One, who was alive and who was administrating and watching His people in time past, is the same God today. His power is none the less, it's none the more. He is the same as He always has been. The same God that saw the Israelites at this spot now again, at the Jordan. How are they going to get across? The same God that gave instruction to the priests and gave instructions to Joshua of how they should do. And the waters parted is the same God that's looking down at Great Lakes this morning and knows the announcements that were given, knows the hearts. It's the same God. That you may know the way. You have not passed this way heretofore. You have not gone through the challenges of today, before today. But God's heart is that we would know the way. The way that we should go. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Psalm 8:4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? It's an humbling thought to know and understand that the God of the universe, the God of the creator of all things, the creator of you and I, thinks about us individually. He thinks about us. He cares about every detail of our lives. If you have a thought this morning that God is about to destroy you, God is a God of anger. He is an angry God. He is a God that wants to, He is just not happy. He brings things into your life that are horrible and terrible. That's not our God. God loves you. We'll discuss more of that tonight. But God loves you. God cares for you. God is a God of justice. He has truths. He has laws that need to be followed, yes. But God's heart is turned towards us. The burden of this message is to encourage us to exercise faith and trust in God throughout the unknowns of the coming year. Throughout the unknowns. Now let's look at this more directly. I think I have maybe 4 or 5 points. Yes, 5 points. That ye may know the way. How am I going to navigate through life each step and each day? How am I going to navigate? How am I going to follow? How am I going to know the way that I am to go? Don't we wish sometimes it would be so nice to have God would just come and He would just audibly speak to us like He spoke to those of old and just simply tell us, here's the way. Well, God does speak to us in many ways. Number one is focus. Number one is focus. Follow God with a single focus, singular focus. The Israelites were told to watch the ark of God. And when that ark began to move, they were to move after it. Follow God with a single focus. When you're out hunting, it's important that the scope of the rifle is on, isn't it? It's important that the crosshairs are lined up right on the target and that the rifle is sighted in. And you look through the crosshairs and you have a single focus. And with my eyesight being a little bit the way it is, I have a little bit of a hard time when I try to look through the crosshairs, through the scope. The rifle needs to be on, a single focus. When you're driving down the road, yes, you need to be aware of what's around you, but you need to be focused on what you're doing. Texting or WhatsApping or whatever distracts you, and you will cause injury to yourself and others. You will increase that possibility. a single focus. When the farmer is plowing in his field, a single focus on the marker ahead produces a straight line. The farmer who is just watching down here at his tires and just very narrow focus, the plow, the furrow will go crooked. A single focus, follow God with a single focus. When the ark begins to move, we move with it. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I thought of the song, with my eyes fixed on Jesus, I can face another day. With my eyes fixed on Jesus, I can face another day. With my hand in my Savior's, I don't need to go astray. With my heart simply trusting, there are answers when I pray. In the shelter of his arm, I want to stay. A single focus. How do you keep a single focus on God and his ways? How do you keep a single focus? How do you deal with the distractions of February 2019? And there are many of them. There are many of them. You know, I think one of the ways that we keep a single, let me phrase it this way. We will be focused on the object that has our heart. We will be focused on the object that has our heart. The children of Israel, I believe, were interested in crossing Jordan. They did not want to miss the movement of the ark. They were focused on the direction that was given. They were focused because there was a goal ahead. There was a land of Canaan ahead. Today, if we are not interested in the goal ahead, if we are not interested in the goal of heaven, we're not going to care about how we plow. We're not going to care about other things. A single focus. Let's move on. Number two, be patient and allow God to lead. Be patient and allow God to lead. And oh, how hard that is. When standing beside the waters of Jordan. But be patient and allow God to lead, that ye may know the way. If I was to have a rosebud up here today, just, and if I would want to see a full a rose in full bloom. What would happen if I would start with take my hands and start unfolding that rosebud? I want to see a full blooming rose. I'm going to help it. But you know what happens? It would be destroyed. There are many things in life that are that way. It takes time and it takes patience. God in his own time works out the details. Allow God to lead. Allow God to lead. Young people, you have goals, you have desires. You want to know God's will for your life. You want to know it in many ways, and you know what they are. What's God's will for me? Be patient and allow God to lead. Do not force open the bud, because hurt and pain ensues. In verse 4, there's a command that God gives. He's giving some direction, and he says, you're supposed to stay 2,000 cubits away from the ark. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way. God gives us some direction in his word. It's a little bit like driving down the road. There are laws, and there are speed limit signs, there are yellow lines, there are green lights and red lights, there are, you name it. There are laws to be followed. Be patient and allow God to lead. A butterfly emerges from its cocoon at exactly the precise time. Times of patient waiting are not stagnant times. They are opportunities for us to grow and mature in our trust and faith in God. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will go ahead of you and lead you. Number three. This one may be closely related to the other two. But number three, that ye may know the way. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Keep your relationship with God current. Keep your relationship with God current. Sanctify yourselves. To sanctify means to consecrate, to make holy, to purify and cleanse. Day by day, day by day, moment by moment, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And at the moment that you know you have strayed, you have allowed impurity, you have allowed lustful thoughts, you've allowed pride or hatred or envy or whatever it is to come into your experience, sanctify yourself. Why? Because if unchecked, those things will distort the vision of the future. It will distort the vision that you have of the future. And after a while, it's not my problem, it's everybody else's problem. And we may not even understand. The Lord wants to do wonders among us. Sanctify ourselves. Separate ourselves from evil. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The things on the earth are going to pass away and decay. They're going to burn. We should not set our affection on the things of here and now, but set them on things above. Treasures in heaven, like our brother was talking about. Number four, that ye may know the way. Trust God's word, even though the path ahead may seem unclear. Trust God's word, even though the path ahead may seem unclear. There are aspects of change. There are aspects related to change that sometimes we question the movings of God, maybe. And we wonder, well, how's this going to work out? Maybe you're called to a new field of service. There is something in this chapter of many things, but one of the things that really blesses my heart and challenges me in my life Which verse is it? Verse 15. And they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed its banks. Verse 16. The waters parted. There's a dynamic here that we must get. And that is that the priests needed to step into the water. The priests needed to step into the water. I see in this passage a beautiful cohesion of faith and works. Believing in God. But there are things that we need to do too. What are the dynamics of salvation? Number of them. But an individual experiences guilt, heaviness in his heart, and he wants peace and he wants deliverance and freedom. And his heart is heavy. And as the love of God draws him, and as the Spirit speaks to him, there is weight and there is heaviness. But God does not drag anyone to the cross. We come to the cross when we are willing of our own will to say, okay, I come. And we step into the water, as it were, and then deliverance and freedom happens. And it is at that moment that a lot of people, even in our own experience, at times we have shrunk back because it felt too much to go over the line. It felt too much to accept. Deliverance comes by acceptance. Freedom comes by acceptance. Trust God's word even though the path ahead is unclear. God's word says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is God who parts the water. We need to be willing to step into it. Reminded of David when he came to Goliath. He went to fight with Goliath. He says, I will go and fight Goliath. He has defied the armies of God. Just as I fought the bear and lion, so God will help me fight Goliath. He was willing to go. He was willing to go. Number 5. This one has a slightly different twist to it. That we may know the way. Changing our focus just a little bit. But diligently teach the rising generation the wonderful works of God. Diligently teach them. Verses 5 to 8 of chapter 4. We didn't read this, but I'd just like to read this now. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Parents, we need to teach our children the ways of God. Parents who teach their children the ways of their practice help their children to appreciate the value of the practice. Teaching living in oneness with God will involve sacrifice as well. It will involve the need to make choices that will go counterculture. We need to be able to point to memorials in our lives that inspire us to go on. The devil comes at times and tempts us. He does me. Tempts us of doubt, with doubt. Disturbs our peace. Yeah, are you sure? But when we have the memorial in our lives, we can go back and we can look and we can say, right there is where I dealt with this. Or right there is where, for instance, marriage. Maybe you struggle particular day in loving your wife. Maybe she's struggling in loving you. Something happened and, you know, just, wow. But when I think back of the memorial of our marriage, you know what? Yes. When I think about how God, I am to love my wife, how God loves the church, give himself for it. It encourages us to do what we need to do in our heart to be who God wants us to be. Memorials in our lives that we can look back and we can say, yes. Oh yes, comes to my mind now. In ministry, there are times in the call of ministry that I need to look back and say, you know what? One day there was a lot, and there was a book, and there was a lot slip in it, and that fell to me. And we need to embrace it and move on. God will show us the way. God will show us the way. It gives us courage to go on. Memorials refresh our memory and plant our feet. Well, I like to think that we are doing just this, diligently teaching the rising generation. But you know, more is caught than taught. Our children see how we live and what we do. And I appreciated our discussions today. Let us be diligent in teaching the rising generation. In conclusion, the rest of this year lies before us. We haven't gone that way. None of us even knows, as I mentioned before, the next 5 minutes or less. But God does. He knows it all from the beginning. It could be there will be some Jordans that we are called to cross. It could be that we will find ourselves standing at the brink of something that looks larger than us. And that doesn't take very much, does it? Follow God in single focus. Be patient and allow God to lead. Keep your relationship with God current. Trust God, even though the path may seem unclear. And diligently teach the rising generation the wonderful works of God. You know, we need to talk to our children about those things. Those things in life that were huge. Those things in life that challenged us to go on, even though we weren't sure how to go on. We need to talk to our children about those things. Inspire in them faith and trust in God, because the same God that was back there in the Garden of Eden, the same God that was with mom and dad, is the same God that's with them today too. It's the same God that will help them with the test in school. It's the same God that will help them to overcome the fear of whatever it may be. It's that same God. He is the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. May God help us to take his direction, that ye may know the way. Knowing the way comes as we surrender to him. We allow him to lead. We trust him. It's then that we find the way. No, it's... I do not want to paint a picture this morning that it's easy. It's difficult. But we must remember, sovereign God we serve knows it all, and we must trust him. Even, you know, and I'm challenged with this. Is my faith that I am living for, do I believe it and trust in it, experience it, that to me it's a faith that is worth dying for? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you at the close of this service, and we thank you so much for salvation, first of all. We thank you that your sovereign power is greater than any power on earth. That you are able to overcome, that you have overcome Satan and conquered the sin of death. And while we may experience death in our physical bodies, yet we give our hearts to you. Our spirit and our soul can live on eternally in happiness and bliss. Forever enjoying the wonderful realms of eternity. We thank you for the testimony of those that have gone before, who have been faithful, have laid down their life for you and have gone on. We pray for those today who may be suffering, who are wondering and asking why about different aspects of life. We pray for them. Help them to sense your nearness and your love and your care. Help them to be willing to trust you, even though they may not understand. We pray your blessing upon the Great Lakes congregation, that you would help them to be a testimony and light in this area. Help them to band together as a brotherhood, to have their eyes fixed on you. We know someday you're coming to take us home and help us to be ready and faithful. We thank you for the little ones among us. Pray that you would bless them abundantly. We thank you so much for your gifts. Pray for the parents and the learning and endeavoring to teach their children your ways. We pray that you would give them grace and wisdom. We pray that our homes would be strong and mommies and daddies would love each other and children would be safe and secure. We pray that you would bless the remainder of the day. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.